It's the Barry Pod on 99.3thevine.com.
Wednesday, the 10th of July of 2024. I'm Barry Martin, and a couple of guests joining me now in studio, and I will introduce both of them. Millie Pintacci from La Petite Elephant Nursery School and Daycare, right? Did I get that right?
That's right.
Was it half right? At least half right?
Close. La Petite Elephant Nursery and Preschool.
There we go. And also in studio with us is Tara Doran Muccitelli, who is the main person behind a nonprofit group called It Takes a Valley. And you're a child care advocacy group, correct?
Yep. We're just here to help out people in Napa and get more child care assistance to our citizens.
So I hope we can talk about two issues here, the specific proposal that's been in front of the city council and actually approved by the council, and the broader question of child care availability. But let's start with you, Millie. Can you describe what it is that you've proposed to do up in Alta Heights that's generated some pushback?
Absolutely. So we are very excited to be in contract to purchase the former LDS church up in Alta Heights. It is a beautiful property that is basically ready to go as a child care center. We would be able to provide preschool and infant care services for up to 200 children, as well as 20 spaces for children to come and utilize an indoor play space with their caregiver. Monday through Friday, as well as 30 spaces for aftercare, children who don't have after-school care at their own school, and summer camp for children who need care Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5:30. It would be amazing.
So you've been in the business of this kind of work for quite a while, a couple of decades, you told me.
That's right.
And your particular current business, how long, 8 years, you said?
8.5 years in the Napa Valley, mm-hmm. Correct.
How much have you seen this industry change in the 8 years or in the 20 years?
Unfortunately, not even close to drastically enough as it should have. When we opened our doors in 2015, December of 2015, we were the first child care center to have opened in Napa Valley in over a decade. And so when we opened, it was like floodgates, and, you know, it was such a desperately needed service for the families in our valley. And since then, a few more centers have luckily been able to open their doors as well once they were able to identify spaces that would hold them and their need. And that's, we've kind of come to a plateau, I think, and that's not at all what Napa Valley needs. We need way more child care, especially infant care.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk more about that supply and demand and the issues around that in a second. But let's get to your specific proposal. Like you say, it's an existing building, so it's not new construction or anything. It's the old Mormon church. It's been there for, I don't know.
Since 1956.
Really? Okay.
Absolutely.
And if you're familiar with Alta Heights, you know where this is. You brought the proposal forward. You went through the city's process, and the city planning commission and council approved this, right?
Absolutely, yes. Was unanimously.
Unanimously in both cases?
Absolutely, both cases.
And then after all of that was said and done, some neighbors to the project have filed a lawsuit, and that's what's generated some news, and that's why we're talking about here today. They cited what they believe is a failure to adhere to CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. They think it's out of line with planning, zoning, maybe, I don't know, the general plan, a whole bunch of things. Describe that and your response to that suit.
On April 4th, we had our use permit hearing where we presented a fully complete application to the city planning and the city planning commission. It was unanimously approved. We had checked every single box, which was wonderful to be able to do that. This group appealed the hearing, the ruling, and so we went to appeal with the city council. Again, unanimous approval. I sincerely believe that we have done all the due diligence. We've done all the tests and all the studies and all the things to prove that this is a completely viable, safe, and of course, it's going to fill a huge need in Napa project.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm making some assumptions based on the stories I've read and how people here locally think about things. yes, you've had an existing use of that space, but it probably was not as intense as the use you're proposing. Is that accurate? The number of cars that would be coming, the frequency of trips to and from the facility?
So the church was built in 1956, brick by brick, cinder block by the Mormon community here in Napa. No contractors were hired. It was fully built by this community, and it was busy. Everybody I've spoken to that was a former member of the church talks about hundreds and hundreds of people being on site, families, children. There were 18 classrooms built specifically to be able to help educate the children of their community. They used to have maybe up to 1,000 people there on the weekends. They would have to open their doors and spill out onto the outdoor space and the lawn area. They even built more and more classrooms and more spaces as their community grew. So it was historically meant for community. It was meant for families to gather and children to come and grow and learn. And so, you know, over the years, of course, membership kind of decreased over time. And so the current neighborhood might be used to lower car trips.
How long has it been not in use at all? Has it been not in use at all?
For 2 years.
2 years, but a period of declining use prior to that, correct?
Yes, correct. Okay. And so now our use would, it sounds like a lot if you say 1,000 car trips. What that actually means is up to 250 children being dropped off in the morning and then parents going to work and then that same parent coming back, picking up their child and leaving. That's 4 car trips, up to 250 children. That's where you see that giant looking number, 1,000. It's actually just probably going to be under 200 children on a daily basis actually attending that Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5:30. Historically, and just, you know, per the industry, children get sick, families travel. We usually have about a 75% attendance rate. So we're already looking at probably about 160 children on any given day.
Mm-hmm. So comparable to a smaller, half the size of the smallest elementary school probably in, that we're used to around this part.
I think so. And our current site is located also in a neighborhood and also in a church space next to another childcare that is in a church space. And we have up to 128 children already attending my school, and the neighbors don't notice the traffic. We haven't noticed the traffic, even with the addition of another entire school being open next door to us, because traffic when it comes to childcare is a trickle. Parents come when they can and drop off when they can. They come pick up when they can within our hours of operation. We don't have a bell schedule start time, and we don't have a hard pickup time except please get your child before we close.
Now, these kind of issues are always tricky, and whether it's this kind of proposal or a winery tasting room expansion or new construction, people who are most affected by it will say, you don't understand, I live on the street, right? So on and so forth. A group formed to oppose this and filed this lawsuit. Who's involved in that suit?
It is my understanding that it's a group of 4 people that had filed the appeal. They call themselves the Alta Heights Neighborhood Coalition. And so it's 4 people. I've sat down with 2 of them and tried to, you know, make sure that I heard them. I've actually held a neighborhood meeting on February 1st for the entire neighborhood. When we first started this project, I've heard their concerns. I understand the worry about traffic and noise, and we've addressed all of those things. We did a full-blown traffic study. We're all in the clear. The fire department was actually the first people I called when we looked at this property. We're all clear there. Safety is my number one and number two priority because I have children under the age of 5 in my care. That's my responsibility. I take that very seriously. And my own children attend the school. It has to be safe. Of course it has to be safe.
Mm-hmm. And so what's the process from here for you?
We are now at the point of the lawsuit has been served and we are needing to be able to hopefully come to some kind of agreement or negotiate something to make sure that it is working for all parties involved. But this is a huge need in Napa Valley. This can't fail. This can't go away. We have to find a way to succeed. The children need this. And families need it.
When are you hoping to start operating in this new location?
If we can start moving forward soon, we're hoping to be able to open our doors in late 2025. So soon.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take too long. There's no construction really needed.
All right. So let's swing over to Tara Doran Muccitelli. And as I mentioned, the leader of a group called It Takes a Valley. What's that organization about?
We opened our doors in, I think, about 2020 during COVID, when we realized how important childcare was, when we all, you know, lost that and couldn't work. So what happens when parents can't work because they're taking care of their own children? The economy goes to SOL, right? So we realized how important it was just to our economy and how people were struggling to find childcare, struggling to pay for childcare, struggling to live somewhere with good childcare, because it is a huge expense, but it is one of those things that's worth it on every level. It's, you know, number one is your own children. So we opened to help people pay for childcare as an assistance program, and also as an awareness program, mm-hmm. because, you know, why is nobody talking about how hard it is and how hard the first 5 years of your child's life are on the mother and on the father? But a lot of the onus sort of lies on the mother of, you know, does she go back to work? Does she lose her income? Or in that ability to have your income go up, right? So it's a complex issue, but we're sort of starting to tackle it. And I'm a huge proponent of Millie and what she's done with LPE, Le Petit Elephant.
Thank you for the acronym. I'll say that from now on.
Yeah, LPE. And we see the need so clearly. So she's asking for 75 more spots than she currently has. We have 7,500 kids in Napa under the age of 5. So it really doesn't even scratch the surface. And I think everyone in Napa is on board with this, except for 4 people, right? So those 4 people can't speak for the 80,000 of us here. And I think if you're removed from this stage of life, you don't understand, or, you know, you don't think about how big this issue is. But if you're an employer and you have employees who have to call out of work because they don't have childcare, then you sort of get to know the issue and how complex it is. Mm.
7,500 kids under the age of 5 that are in childcare or that need childcare?
Well, total. Yeah. So total. There's 75.
Okay, the total population of kids under 5.
Yes.
In the city?
In the city of Napa.
7,500. Has anybody been able to estimate the demand, the unmet demand for childcare?
Currently, there is only 1 infant spot for every 4 children ages 2 to 5, and only 1 infant space, I'm sorry, preschool space available for 1 out of 10. And infants is 1 out of 4. We don't have enough childcare. That's 3 children who are babies who have nowhere to go. Hmm. That's 9 preschoolers who have nowhere to go.
And so people end up with a decision, like if you don't have family, and, you know, in the old days, traditionally, like grandma would step in. A lot of people don't have that anymore. They don't live where the rest of their family is.
We are actually seeing a lot of grandmas and grandpas having to go back to work these days in Napa. So certainly not, they are not available. And also most people who come to Napa, we're all transplants, you know, and we don't have family, not even nearly close by. And so the options are basically down to, does mom leave her job or does dad leave his job?
Mm-hmm. All right. Really well described from your point of view. You've laid out the problem and what the challenges are. Are you looking for some kind of call to action from folks who are listening here?
Yeah. So through our foundation, It Takes a Valley, which is a 501c3 nonprofit, we are looking for donations. So the City of Napa has been great. They've approved this project twice, the City of Napa Planning Commission and then the City Council, both unanimously. So they are definitely on our side. However, they have a rule in place that they can't represent Millie in the current lawsuit, and they cannot cover her legal fees, which either will mount or are mounting. And Millie can speak to that and on the specific costs, but it is really we don't want it to get in the way of this huge improvement for our community. So we are asking for donations in support of LPE and in support of childcare in general to, so we have access to those additional spots so we can create a children's activity center on the weekends. And so we can also employ more people, more teachers and admin and whatnot. So Millie can say the exact amount, but we are looking for those donations from everyone, and, hopefully.
Via your website? Is that the way you're doing it? Tell us where
that
is.
Via our website. So you can go to www.ittakesavalley.com and there will be a link there to donate and more information under the Child Care Defense.
Very good. That again was Tara. And Millie, final word?
Absolutely. So I just want to point out a little bit of a, you know, the domino effect that will occur here. Right now with this lawsuit, my school, LPE, is named in the lawsuit as well as the city of Napa. And so I am having to pay for the city's legal fees as well as my own. Those costs are, those are funds that are earmarked for families' financial aid and scholarships. Starting next month.
Hold on a second. Let's back up a second.
Okay.
Your company, your for-profit business, right?
Yes.
Is compelled.
So we say.
Theoretically,
yes,
for-profit.
Correct. We try.
you're required by law to pay the city's legal fees?
Correct.
How
per
does that work?
Per the use permit language, the city is indemnified. And so.
Even though they approved it 5-0. Two different ways.
Absolutely. Because they are now
That's
being
confusing.
Sued. I know. Because they are now being sued for the decision they made for my use permit, I am responsible financially to pay their legal fees as well as my own representation because their lawyer cannot represent me or my interests. Tell me about it.
So you're paying your own legal fees. You're not actually paying the city's costs of their city attorney.
Or I am.
You're paying the city attorney's costs?
The city attorney.
Private counsel hired
private
by
counsel.
The city?
Outside private counsel. I'm paying for all of that as well as any involvement that the city is having with meetings and, you know, all the things. I also had to pay for the appeal already that the coalition filed with city council. I paid for that already. We are tapped as far as, you know, money before we have to start digging into financial aid, the pool of financial aid. So we are humbly asking everybody who either knows a child, has a child, or likes a child or a family to please donate to ittakesavalley.com.
ittakesavalley.com. And we've heard from Millie Pintacci from LPE. Once again, that's handy. Tara Doran Muccitelli from It Takes a Valley. Thank you both for coming in. We're going to track this story and stay in touch with us, okay?
Thank you so much.
Right. Thank you.
You're listening to The Berry Pod. Tastings from Wine Country Live in the morning.
On 99.3, thevine.com.